The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. We are in the month of November. November is the month of Thanksgiving. Now, every day for a believer is to be a day of Thanksgiving, but we focus in on Thanksgiving, obviously, in that last Thursday in November. And I just wanted to share with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and following. Very good, just short verses, good to memorize. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, verse 17, and then verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not God's will that everything that happens to you, but it's God's will that in everything that happens to you, you give thanks to God. And you are a grateful Christian. And you thank the Lord because you know the Lord is over it all. Hey, nothing comes into your life, nothing comes into my life that doesn't first filter through God's fingers of love. And as we are grateful, as we are thankful, as we praise Him, as we make that just the practice of our lives, God works through the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. So yesterday I've been preaching on the prophet Samuel. Samuel was the last judge of Israel. And we have one more sermon in this series on the life of Samuel. I'm calling it Leaving a Legacy because Samuel sure left a legacy. But we talked Sunday about 1 Samuel chapter 16, about the anointing of David. I believe it was the greatest single event in Samuel's life. He lived a life of faithfulness before the Lord for many, many decades. Scholars think he was about 90 when he died. But that one event, anointing David as king, was critical. And Samuel didn't know which son it was that he was going to anoint. God just told him, you know, hey, listen, how long will you grieve over Saul since I've rejected him? Go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And so he went to Bethlehem in obedience to the Lord, and he didn't know. And when he saw the oldest son of Jesse, his name was Eliab. Eliab means God is my father. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, because Eliab looked like a king. I mean, he was handsome and he was tall and he was stately and he just carried himself well. And the Lord said, no, I have rejected him. Don't look on the outward. Don't look on his appearance and the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For man looks at the outward, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so we talked all about heart. What is your heart like? Well, the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You know, David was the only man in Scripture to ever have the moniker a man after God's own heart. We read that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and then Paul mentions it again in Acts chapter 13 in one of his sermons, a man after God's own heart. Now, you know, you can't do a whole lot. You can do some, but you can't do a whole lot with your outward appearance, especially your physical attributes. I mean, you're as tall as you are. Nobody can really, hey, I'm going to go to the doctor and add 6 inches. I mean, that doesn't work, right? So God chose your body type. And if you're tall, if you're short, if you're big, if you're small, small-framed, You know, your face is what your face is. You try and do all you can to make it presentable, but your nose is the size it is, and you know, all those things. Now, you can get a nose job, you can get your teeth fixed, things like that, but you can't change too much. And when the Lord chose David, he was a young kid. His dad didn't even bring him to the feast. This is a big deal. The prophet comes to town and he says, I want you to come to the feast and bring your sons, and you don't even bring your youngest son. Well, what's up with that? Why would you not do that? It's because David was the youngest of the boys. No way is God going to choose him. David's probably only 12 years old. He's tending the sheep. He sits at the little kid's table for Thanksgiving. And Jesse didn't even bring him. Well, Samuel looked at all the sons. It's like the Lord hadn't chosen any of these. Hey, Jesse, do you have another son? He said, well, you know, come to think of it, I do, the youngest. But God wouldn't choose the youngest. Oh, yes, he would. And yes, he did. And Samuel said, get him. Bring him here. We're not going to sit down to the feast till he comes. And when he came in, the Bible says of David, this young boy, says he was handsome with a reddish appearance, and he had beautiful eyes. And the Lord said to Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him. And he anointed David, poured the horn of oil over his head. And it would typically, as it says in Psalm 133, that the oil runs down in the beard. Well, David didn't have a beard, but it would run over his head and on his collar, and as a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him mightily from that day forward. And he was anointed in the presence of his brothers. This is the king. That was the greatest single event of Samuel's ministry, anointing David, because David and the house of David, that's where the Messiah is going to come from. So listen, as we talk about things today, I want you to consider your heart. You know, you can't change your age. We live in a crazy world where people think you can change your sex. You can't do that. You can't change your age. You can't change your ethnicity. But you can do a lot of work on your heart. And you can give to the Lord, present to him a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days, Psalm 90 says, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And God is looking for a person, no matter how young, no matter how old, somebody who has a heart that's wholly devoted to him. And one of the things in a heart that is pleasing to the Lord, that is would be classified a man after my own heart, is a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of humility and a heart that recognizes that God is God and you're not God. And the very first thing that we need to understand in this life is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point for wisdom. It's the starting point for knowledge. People that reject the fear of the Lord, they're morons. They're idiots, because life doesn't go without God. If you want to line yourself up against God and you think you're big and strong and bad and all those things, and I can take on God and I can reject God, hey, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so if we are going to bow up against God, that's so foolish. That's like going down to the railroad tracks and just standing on them on the tracks and setting yourself up in a 4-point stance like football, and you're going to go up against a speeding train. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? They're going to be scraping you off the railroad tracks because you're going to get obliterated. That's the way it is with God. And it is foolish to rage against the Lord. And obviously, a heart that rages against the Lord is not a heart according to God. If David had that kind of heart, the Lord never would have chosen him. And so we don't, as we come before the Lord, as we come to the Word of God, we yield ourselves to the Lord. As it says in Psalm 119, we don't know who wrote Psalm 119. Tradition says that David wrote it. But he says in Psalm 119, the psalmist, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Everybody knows when you lift up your hands, that's the universal sign of surrender. I'm going to lift up my hands, Lord, to your commandments. I'm going to surrender myself to your will over my will. Not, as Jesus said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And I'm going to submit myself to the Word of God, the will of God, the ways of God, and I'm going to sign up as his doulos, as his slave, as his bond servant, and say, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I want. I want your will above my will, your will above my next breath. Having a heart for God is so critical. And it's something you can start today. As it says in Psalm 119, I will run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. You, God, will enlarge my heart. Well, let me encourage you in this month of December to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Hey, is your life falling apart today? Give thanks to God and cast your burden on the Lord, knowing that he will sustain you. He cares for you, casting all your cares upon him, as Peter says, for he cares for you. And so we do that. And we say, Lord, I don't understand these things. I have this burden in my marriage. I have this burden in my family. But I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to look to you, and I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and I'm going to put my hope in you. And we say with King Jehoshaphat, when the armies, three enemy armies, all came together and were going to wipe out Jerusalem, he prayed and he said, Lord, we're powerless against this great enemy that's coming against us, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Oh, God loves that when we have that kind of faith. Lord, I'm a dead duck. I don't know what to do. This situation is coming at me. It is overwhelming, but my eyes are on you. You are the God of hope. You are the God of might and miracle. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. Lord, I'm looking to you. There is nothing too difficult for you. Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? No. The answer is in that same chapter, Jeremiah chapter 32. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. And so we just trust the Lord no matter what is happening in life. You know, I shared with the church yesterday, I said, listen, David was a man after God's own heart. And you can be a man, a woman, a boy or girl after God's own heart too. And how do you do that? You constantly recognize that God is God and you're not God. You live in the fear of the Lord always. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. You constantly remind yourself that although God is so great, the heavens, not even the highest heavens can contain God. All the nations are as nothing before him. Isaiah 40, they are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. God is so great, and yet God is intimately acquainted with all my ways, David said in Psalm 139. Before there's a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all. And God loves you. You are as small, and collectively, we're as small as a pimple on a flea to God. And yet he knows us. He knows all about us. He loves us. He wants to do in our lives. He cares about our situation. When we come to Christ, we belong to him. We're slaves of the king, but we're also sons and daughters of the king. And so we remind ourselves constantly who God is, how much he loves us, and we seek him first and foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And as we seek him, as we trust him, as we pray, then we ask him, Lord, please make me a person, a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, after your heart. I want to have a heart for you. I want to have a passion for you that far exceeds my passion for anything else, for anyone else. God, do a work in me. And the Lord will answer that prayer. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and you're listening to American Family Radio, Real Truth for Today. I wanted to just remind you about Operation Christmas Child with Samaritan's Purse. This is Shoebox Sunday coming up at First Baptist Texarkana and other churches coming up later this month. But now through November 24th, you can get involved. And if you don't know about Operation Christmas Child, it's packing a shoebox and sending that to Samaritan's Purse as they send it around the world to different places so a kid can get a gift for Christmas and then also hear about Jesus who's mighty to save. And to find out more, you can visit samaritanspurse.org/OCC, samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Debbie did our box just the other day. She was all excited about that. And we're going to collect those the Sunday before Thanksgiving at First Baptist Texarkana. Well, you're hearing, no doubt, as you heard top of the hour and just constantly on the news about the government shutdown. The government shutdown on October 1st. And, you know, Democrats are trying to say, well, it's Trump's shutdown. But even liberal news organizations like CNN, they have had different ones on from the Democrats and say, well, you know, they want you to vote for the continuing resolution, the clean CR. Nancy Pelosi was asked about the clean CR. Oh, it's not a clean CR. That's all she had to say about it. And it's Trump's fault, Trump's fault, Trump's fault. And, well, where this is getting very real, obviously, with the food stamps called SNAP benefits, that shut down on the 1st of November. But my heart goes out to the people that really need that, the people that are genuinely in need, the people that cannot help themselves, and they need that to survive. Well, they're in a world of hurt right now. And who's at fault? Well, it's not Trump, and it's not the Republicans. They keep bringing forth the continuing resolution, clean CR, vote for this, and the Democrats won't vote for it. They're playing hardball with the American people in the middle getting, suffering, getting stung through this, and having to deal with the misery of it as the government shuts down, as the workers don't get paid. You know, it's tough enough going to the airport when things are good, waiting in line for the TSA to, you know, check you out and all that stuff. Now, Debbie was following what was going on in Houston, and if you have to travel out of Intercontinental Airport or George Bush Airport, you got to get there way, way in advance because it's going to take you an hour to get through TSA. Well, people are going to be grumpy, no doubt, angry, and the TSA agents are not getting paid, and they're like, hey, stick it in your ear. You know, I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart. I mean, it just creates the formula for disaster and for people to do crazy, terrible things. Now, I saw a guy on X, and he was talking about people saying, well, this is Trump's shutdown. They believe the lies from Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, and this is what he had to say about that.
I voted for Trump, and I don't agree with him taking away the EBT benefits from the American people.
So I'm starting to believe that there is a learning disability epidemic in this country. because if I'm not mistaken, she just said she doesn't agree with Donald Trump taking away EBT benefits.
Those are food stamps.
Let me say this slowly so that y'all can comprehend it and understand it. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats decided not to vote for the continuing resolution, which would have kept the government open. Instead, they allowed it to be shut down, which is interesting because they voted in favor of the very same continuing resolution earlier this year. So one would question why they would do this. Nevertheless, if the government is shut down because the Democrats didn't vote for the continuing resolution, that means funds and money that is normally allocated won't be allocated. Government employees won't get paid. And guess what? EBT, SNAP, whatever you want to call it, benefits will not be paid out and will be delayed until they come to an agreement to reopen the government. This is not Donald Trump's fault. One could even argue that they did this on purpose because they knew some of you would be stupid enough to believe that it is Donald Trump's fault.
Well, he makes the case that is inarguable. I mean, it's how do you argue with that? It is exactly the case. And the Democrats could stop the shutdown today if they would just vote for the continuing resolution. Now, I think I played the clip last week from Barack Obama in 2013 when the Republicans were doing this. And when the Republicans were doing this, it was wrong. But he said, hey, we're not going to negotiate with terrorists. And so if you're not going to open up the government, well, I'm not going to sit down at the table with you. Open the government. And then we can talk and we can negotiate, but we're not going to do that. I'm not going to be held hostage by you putting a gun to my head, so to speak. And so Trump was asked about this last night on 60 Minutes with Nora O'Donnell, and she's trying to say, you know, it's the Trump shutdown. This is what he had to say.
The problem is they want to give money to prisoners, to drug dealers, to all these millions of people that were allowed to come in with an open border from Biden, and nobody can do that. One Republican would ever do that.
My understanding is if those health care subsidies are not extended, premiums will double for many of the people that are on it. And I was looking into it. 3/4 of these people will see their health care premiums double. Live in states where you won in the last election. I mean, even here in Florida has the highest number of residents on Obamacare in the country.
And I'm saying we can fix it, Nora.
You have helped end these government shutdowns in the past when they came about. And you did it by bringing
them. I'm very good at it, but I'm not going to do it by extortion. I'm not going to do it by being extorted by the Democrats who have lost their way. There's something wrong with these people.
So then what happens?
So I agree with him, and Barack Obama agrees with him, and you don't negotiate with terrorists. And so what is the answer? Well, as Trump tweeted out today or last night, I saw it this morning, that he wants the nuclear option. He wants the Republicans to just do away with the filibuster. So it's just a majority. You have a majority and you can get things done. And so I'm going to bring on a guest tomorrow, Rod Martin, my friend, who keeps abreast of all these things. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Is that a good move or is that a bad move? But it needs to be done because this needs to come to an end. And those who are under the assumption that we can just throw money out the door like there's no tomorrow, and give away all these things, and as the Democrats have brought forth, you know, a $1.5 trillion increase in indebtedness over 10 years, that's what they want the Republicans in the Senate to sign off on to keep the government going. Well, that's just insane. You can't do that. We're already $37, $38 trillion in debt. Oh, what's another $1.5 trillion among friends? I mean, as I've said before, eventually you go broke. I mean, you just can't function anymore. You're just bankrupt and you're out of business because you just can't live on credit forever. Now, Brooke Rollins, who is part of the administration, she was on Fox News talking about these SNAP benefits, these food stamps, and the 42 million people that are on those. She said, well, we've done some research and this is what we've found.
Day one of USDA, February 13th, is we sent letters to every governor in America being very clear that no illegal aliens can use SNAP. Zero, zero, zero. We asked every state for the first time in history, and this was in February, to send us their data and let us, with DOGE and a war room, actually start going through this data to better understand how this explosion of SNAP benefits happened under Joe Biden. We increased almost 40% on this program in just a couple of years under the Biden administration. Of course, we know they were trying to buy the election, but that's a conversation for another time. And since we have asked for that data, 29 states have complied. Of course, almost all the red states, a couple of the blue states too. But in that data, and I haven't talked about this yet publicly, in that data, we've studied about $100 billion in spend. We have found thousands and thousands of illegal use of the EBT card. We have been moving people off of SNAP. We've got almost 700,000 people, I think, we've moved off just since the president took office. We've arrested about 118 people. So this has been ongoing. But Rachel, to your point, what this conversation has allowed is a national spotlight on a broken and corrupt program. We found one guy in six different states getting a benefit. We found about 5,000 people that are dead who are still getting benefits. Like, it is time to drastically reform this program so that we can make sure that those who are truly needy, truly vulnerable, are getting what they need, and the rest of the corruption goes away and we can serve the American taxpayer.
You know, that's what I was watching Chuck Schumer, and he tries to frame all this as, you know, Republicans are heartless and have no compassion, and they just want to see people suffer and want to see families starve. I mean, just ridiculous. I think he does. You know, pretty much a life hack here. Anything that the Democrats accuse the Republicans of doing is what they're doing. You just find that to be true time and time and time again. And the Democrats have said, one of the ladies said, well, we know this is going to increase suffering for the American people, just like at the airport, increase suffering. The food stamp benefits, SNAP benefits, that's going to increase suffering. That's going to make it hard on people. And all the government workers not getting paid. Yeah, we realize that's a problem. It's a huge problem. But we can't, as Bernie Sanders says, we can't forfeit our leverage. We have leverage. And what is the leverage? It's suffering. And so what Brooke Rollins said is really true. You got to get the graft and corruption out of the program so that the program can function as it was designed to function, to help those who are legitimately in need. As you've heard me say, I said it a lot last week, I'll say it again this week, we are commanded by God, not the government, but the church, the people of God, commanded by God to help those who cannot help themselves, not those who will not help themselves. Jenna Ellis wrote a great article that she sent to me just the other day, and it was talking about these women on social media, you know, railing about not having food stamps, and yet their fingernails are all manicured to the hilt. And Jenna says, hey, I get my fingernails manicured too. It's expensive. And you know, if you're talking about you need food stamps, but you can still spend the money for this luxury item of getting your nails done at a nail salon, well, something's wrong there. And so what Brooke Rollins said, hey, you have to protect the system for those who really are in need of it, for those to whom it was created in the first place. Because if you don't, then all the graft and all the corruption eats it all up, and it destroys it. You know, Elon Musk has made this statement. I think he made it on Joe Rogan. He said, well, he's just connecting dots. He said, well, what's the deal? Why were they letting so many people in? Why, as Brooke Rollins said, did the SNAP benefits increase 40% under Joe Biden in a short period of time? She said, what, 2 years? It increased 40%, those who are getting food stamps and benefits from the government like that. Well, he's trying to buy, according to Elon Musk, he's trying to buy, let people in, buy them off so that you can get them to vote. We're trying to legalize all illegal immigrants. That was the plan, the program for the Democrats. That's been halted, obviously. But we want to get voters. And so we want to stay in power. And that's really the, I believe that is exactly right. That's the crux of it all. We just stay in power. And we really don't care about anything else other than power. And that is horrible. Now, you can hate Donald Trump all you want, but I think we would have to say he is trying to focus on bettering things for the American people. Hey, make America great again. If you say America was never great, then, hey, let's just take off the again. Let's make America great. Why wouldn't anyone want to work to make America great? Make America healthy again. Well, you say, well, America was never healthy. Yeah, it was a lot healthier than it is now. So let's get on board with that, because we are a lot better off as a nation when we work together to the betterment of all than when we just fight with one another the way we're doing. And I really don't see, I don't want to be a partisan hack, but I don't see where the Democrats are trying to make anything better for anybody. They're for gender mutilation. They're for the murder of the unborn. I saw a clip with John Kennedy as he was interviewing these ladies on Capitol Hill, and he was saying, you say there's this economic benefit for abortion. He said, does that benefit the baby? Of course not. The lady didn't know how to answer that. Well, we don't really call it a baby. He said, well, the fetus. Is the fetus alive or dead? Well, the fetus is dead. Yeah. Is that good for the fetus? Well, obviously not. Well, there's more that we can say. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the government shutdown, talking about a lot of things today, talking about having a heart for God in the first segment and the government shutdown, things that are going on in our nation. Obviously, a concern for every American. We need to be praying for our country. Our country is so divided. As I said, this idea that, people on the left are just Trump is evil, Trump is terrible, Trump is awful, Trump is, they call him Hitler, and then they say, well, we never called him Hitler. Well, yeah, they do. They're against Trump for everything and the things that he's trying to do. I believe that most of the things that he's trying to do are things that he campaigned under and the things that he is doing, Trump is very, in my opinion, very straightforward. What he says he's going to do, then he goes and does it. Trump is a businessman. Trump wants to get things done. Trump likes to see things built. Trump cares about America. And if you doubt that, just he's the only president, in my understanding, that has ever said, hey, I'm not going to take a salary for being president. He lost a third of his wealth, roughly a third of his wealth, in his first term as president. He's a multi-billionaire, so a third of his wealth is a lot of money. And all those other guys, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, the Clintons, all down the line, they get all this money. They increase in wealth. All these senators and congressmen increasing in wealth from a public service job. Doesn't make much sense, does it, that you're so supposedly serving the public and you're lining your own pockets in the process. Well, that's not true for Donald Trump. And he works tirelessly. I mean, he's amazing to me. A guy that is in his late 70s is able to do all that he does. And his engine just runs at a different speed than most everyone else. So I applaud the guy. I may not agree with everything. And I pray for Donald Trump. We need to pray for Donald Trump. We're commanded in Scripture to pray for our leaders. But America is so fractured. And what is the solution? People have to come to Christ. Ultimately, that is the solution for America, that there would be a revival, that the blinders on men's eyes would be lifted. Because it's just like that one clip I played where the woman is saying, I voted for Trump, but now Trump is taking away my SNAP benefits. Well, obviously, Trump is not taking that away. The Democrats are taking that away, blaming Donald Trump for it. It's just ludicrous. And we need to be able to see things clearly. And, I believe that if you really look and see what motivates people to do what they do, what is motivating these politicians to do what they do, then you can see some are good faith actors and some are bad faith actors. And in my opinion, everyone that is touting the Democrat Party line is a bad faith actor. They're not in it for making America great. Leave out again, just making America great. They don't care about that. They care about power. They care about keeping their position. It is sickening. And, they're going to use Americans as pawns, as useful idiots to push their agenda. Well, I ran across a clip just the other day. George Will was on Bill Maher's program. He was talking about New York City. And he was talking about Mandani becoming the mayor of New York, $111 billion budget, a huge deal. And Bill Maher would think, well, George Will, a conservative, is not going to be for that. But he shocked him by saying, I want him to win. Listen to this.
This must be horrible for a guy like you, who you spent your whole life talking about how government tries to do too much, which it does, and spends too much. And here you have Trump, who is the Republican, who is aggrandizing more power than anybody, as we just talked about. And on the other side, you have the guy running in New York, Mandami, right? Mm. Okay, who's like a straight up communist. I mean, he is. He talks about, the things that communists say. I mean, he wants free grocery stores, free buses.
I want him to win.
You want him to win?
Yeah. I think every 20 years or so.
Wait.
We need every 20 years or so, we need a conspicuous, confined experiment with socialism so we can crack it up again. Socialist slogan used to be, workers of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. The new socialist slogan is, trust us, this time it won't be a mess. So, when the post-war labor government in Britain was about to get started, one of their leading lights was a socialist named Honorian Bevan. He said, what could go wrong? He said, we have a nation bedded on coal, surrounded by fish. It would take an organizational genius to have a shortage of either. In 3 years, they had a shortage of both. That's socialism.
That was George Will. Yeah, socialism never works. It only brings disaster. And if New York City votes for Mandami, that's going to be a disaster for them. But it hopefully will be good for the country if that does happen, as much as it's going to be a disaster for people living in New York. As George Will said, it lets the rest of the country know this is a disaster. Don't vote for it. We should already know that, but some need a remedial course. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Marcy on the line from Texas. Marcy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello. I had noticed that nobody's really talking about down the road these people that they say is able-bodied and not working and drawing these benefits. Down the road, like 15, 20, 30 years, they're going to have to depend on Social Security. And Social Security has to do with the highest amount of income in the last 40 months, I believe.
Right.
And so they're just adding more poverty down the road if they decide they're not needing to work because they're drawing free benefits. And it's going to hit the American population and those people themselves.
Yeah, good point. You know, that's people have been saying for a long time that Social Security is going to go broke because you can't have, if you have more pulling out of it than are giving to it and putting into it, that eventually it runs out of money. And so that's one of the things that, you know, Brooke Rollins, when we played her clip, was saying we're trying to protect getting the corruption out and the graft out and the thievery out is trying to protect that program for those who truly need it, just like with Social Security. If you just abuse Social Security and all these people are getting Social Security benefits that don't qualify for those, well, you take it from those who do qualify and who do need it, and it won't be there for them when they get to that age. And so, yeah, it's a race against time, so to speak, and we need to overhaul so much in our government. And, you know, the government is trying to do way too much, in my opinion. You read Romans chapter 13, and what is government really supposed to do? Not all these giveaway programs and all these entitlement programs. Government is supposed to protect and make things safe for people. Government is supposed to provide roads and public services, things like that, that benefit everybody. The church is God's instrument to help people in need, in financial need, in need of food and clothing and things like that. But when government takes that position over, then the church has backed off of that in so many instances, and then everybody looks to the government. And then people that promote socialism and communism, hey, if you just give us everything, vote us in, we'll take care of your health care, we'll take care of your education, we'll take care of all these things. And that is just a disaster, because everywhere it has been tried, it has ended in death, and it's ended in privation. And you look to Venezuela, you look to, as I said, when World War II ended and you had East Berlin and West Berlin, what did they do? They built a wall in East Berlin, not to keep the West Berliners out, but to keep the East Berliners in, because they wanted to get out of that oppressive system. So, yeah, it's a good point, Marcy. Appreciate you bringing that up. Anything else to add?
Just that even if they do draw it, it'll be a lower amount because they did not earn as much, and that's based on the Social Security is based on the highest amount of earnings in the last, I don't know, 40 months or something like that.
Yeah, in the last 40 quarters. Yeah, good point. And they haven't paid anything in, but they're going to try and take out. They're not going to be able to take out much. It's just a formula for disaster. So I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you bringing that up. Trump was asked on his 60 Minutes interview with Nora O'Donnell. He was asked about Comey and Bolton. And, you know, it seems like people on the left really like to to paint things in such a way that Trump is just going after his enemies and, you know, the system is rigged and they're disproportionate amount of black people in prison because of systemic racism and all this type of thinking. And they're never stepping back and saying, well, wait a minute, maybe as it relates to people in prison that happen to be black, maybe they're committing more of the crimes. You know, I mean, that could be if everybody were purple. I mean, it's just people that commit crimes are going to go to prison in a perfect world. Some people get away with it. But so this is Nora O'Donnell asking Trump about his agenda and going after his enemies.
James Comey, John Bolton, Letitia James were all recently indicted. There's a pattern to these names. They're all public figures who have publicly denounced you. Is it political retribution?
You know what? You know who got indicted? The man you're looking at. I got indicted and I was innocent. And here I am because I was able to beat all of the nonsense that was thrown at me. And yet when you go after a dirty cop like Comey or a guy like Bolton, who I hear has, I don't know anything about it. I hear he took records all over the place. Who knows? Letitia James is a terrible, dishonest person, in my opinion.
Did you instruct the Department of Justice to go after
them? Not in any way, shape, or form. No, you don't have to instruct them because they were so dirty, they were so crooked, they were so corrupt, that the honest people we have, Pam Bondi's doing a very good job.
So, yeah, you can look at it like, well, you're just going after your enemies, or you could look at it this way. Well, maybe those people actually committed crimes. Maybe they committed fraud. Maybe they were lying under oath. Maybe they did all these terrible things, in which case it just happens to be that they are your political foes, but they're political foes that are guilty of criminal activity. I think Letitia James, when you look at what she did with mortgage fraud, isn't it ironic that she tried to nail Trump on fraud with his construction in New York City and related to mortgage issues? And she's guilty of the very same thing. And it's pretty obvious she is guilty of what she did, and what they tried to get Trump on is just a common practice among developers. As Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank said, that's how you do business as a developer. And so if you're going to go after guys that offer up their properties as collateral for a large loan, and you know they say it's worth X, and the bank is able to look at that and say, okay, we'll agree with that assessment or we won't agree with that assessment. It's the bank that's taking that risk on or not taking the risk on, and you're gonna bring him to court for that and find him guilty of that? That's insane. But when you, as Letitia James did, when you lie to the mortgage lender and say, well, I live over here, when you really live in a different place, and that's a different story. And so, justice, Lady Justice, wears a blindfold for a reason. And that is because justice needs to be blind. And we have to have a justice system that is not based on who you are, but based on what did you do. And if you committed a crime, you need to be punished for that crime. So we will see what happens with Comey and Bolton and Letitia James. But obviously, Trump was accused of all sorts of things and had to spend millions and millions of dollars defending himself, and has proven that all that stuff was ridiculous. And it was lawfare to the nth degree against him. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's always a joy for me to be with you every morning here on American Family Radio. And I always encourage you this way: go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. Listen, let all who seek me, seek thee, as the scripture says, seek God, rejoice and be glad in him, and let those who love his salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. May God be magnified this day in your life and in my life, all for His glory. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.